everybody. Welcome to another episode of a very stable podcast. This is your host, Stephen Reed. You can follow me on Twitter at NiceReedSteve. That's Reed, R-E-E-D. You can follow the podcast at A Very Stable Pod. Make sure you check out all our work over at Stampede Blue, and please rate and review the podcast 5 stars wherever you get your podcast. So on today's episode, what we're going to talk about is, unfortunately, again, vaccinations and COVID-19 and protocols, and then we're also going to go ahead and talk about the initial 53-man roster after the initial cutdowns. So jumping straight in, COVID, this is like the third time we've had to talk about this on the podcast, and it's really frustrating for me. It's really frustrating for all of you. I'm sure it's incredibly frustrating for Chris Ballard, Frank Reich, and Jerm Irsay to have to go over this. But as we found out on Monday, 3 Colts players, Carson Wentz, Ryan Kelly, Zach Pascal, were all placed on the COVID-19 list. That means, and it was reported that they were all based on being close contacts. None of those guys tested positive themselves. So here's the thing. When it comes to all of this stuff, I understand that the players have their own personal choice and their own personal opinion in this, and I absolutely respect that. There is another question, though, when it comes to being a good teammate, being available for your team. And do I think the NFL rules are necessarily right? No, I don't really. I think that they should treat vaccinated, unvaccinated players the same in terms of the close contacts issue, because basically the rules for the NFL is if you are a close contact with an individual that tests positive for COVID-19, if you are vaccinated, so you've gotten the shot, if you're vaccinated, you only have to have 2 negative tests within 24 hours apart. However, if you are unvaccinated, then you have to have 5 days, mandatory 5 days. You're missing 5 days, and you have to be tested every single day and test negative every single day. Now, there's some concern as to how they are treated differently here, because they are. It's matter of fact, you know, you vaccinated, you miss a day, at least a day. And if you're unvaccinated, you miss at least 5 days. And so the Colts are going to be put in a situation, I'm fairly certain this is going to happen with the number of unvaccinated players they have. And Zach Kiefer reported that the number is probably went down pretty significantly from training camp. It's something that I said as well, I mentioned that if these guys that are all roster bubble guys, they all got vaccinated, then that means there's a lot of guys that were basically uncuttable, that Chris Ballard wasn't going to cut, that were unvaccinated. So once you cut all those roster bubble guys, that percentage, it was at like 75% for the team. It's probably going to drop down to somewhere along the lines of like 60, 65% based on all the numbers that we've seen and just different reports. You know, again, Zach Kiefer says that half the starting offense isn't vaccinated. And what people don't understand is because of the NFL rules that are in place, if somebody tests positive in the staff or anything like that, then you're going to be in a situation where half your starting lineup for offense is going to be shut down for a week. Because if they test positive, or if they're considered a close contact on, say, Wednesday, they're done. They're out for the game. They can't come back until Monday. That's the earliest they can come back. And so I totally respect the player's decision to make these choices for their own personal reasons and everything like that. But I feel for Chris Ballard and Frank Reich and the frustration that they have. Because in terms of people have questioned Carson Wentz's leadership, and I don't think that he's necessarily viewed as not a leader in the Colts locker room. I think that he is pretty well established as a good guy. He like it was mentioned, he donated $250,000 to Haiti relief. He got all the players together in the offseason to do offseason workouts and throwing and everything like that. He's done what you kind of hope for with a starting quarterback, with his wide receivers and the offense, try to be a leader in that respect. The question, of course, though, is he leading the certain players? He can be a leader in the locker room and still be a question mark when it comes to vaccination status. So right now, I would imagine Frank Reich and Chris Ballard are livid right now because are just dumbfounded that all these players are risking their availability because they don't want to get vaccinated. And it just is mind-boggling to me because when you're a professional football player, your best ability is availability. And these guys are making the conscious choice to risk their availability. And quite honestly, I think it will cost them a game during the season. And if it does cost them a game, that puts the Colts at a significant competitive disadvantage to a team like the Tennessee Titans, the team that they're really fighting for in the division. And so you're really going to put yourself in a bind if these guys are unvaccinated. And so that's where the question mark comes in for it is you're trying to thread the needle and try to be respectful of these players' wishes. But also these players, I wonder if these guys are still going to be considered leaders when they cost the entire team a game during the season, because it's inevitably going to happen. I hope it doesn't, by the way. I absolutely hope it doesn't. But based on the NFL rules right now, which, again, I don't agree with necessarily because I don't think that they should be treated differently based on how the Delta variant is spreading. But based on the NFL rules, these guys are putting themselves and the team at a significant competitive disadvantage by going in. Because if somebody's just around them that has tested positive for COVID, these guys are out. They're done. And I think that there's going to be some questions. Right now, there's not any question with Carson Wentz's leadership or any of the other guys. However, I think if they continue this path and they refuse to get vaccinated, which from all accounts, they seem to be pretty dug in on their positions and are unwilling to budge no matter what, I think that this locker room could turn on these guys pretty quickly because of that. And it's really frustrating. I feel bad for Chris Ballard. I feel bad for Frank Reich because they're the ones that are going to face the brunt of this. And they're trying to do the right thing and allow the players to make this decision. But the players they're putting themselves first over the team. And that's really as plain and simple as it gets. And so I try to look at this from the standpoint of seeing the player's perspective, seeing the team's perspective, but ultimately as an NFL player, you're paid to play the games. And if you're going to risk yourself in your livelihood by not going and getting vaccinated, I just think that that's a mistake based on the NFL rules, because the NFL protocols that require you to be out for 5 days if you're a close contact really plays at a disadvantage for the Colts in this situation. And if they would just comply with those rules, then this situation takes care of itself. Now, I would imagine Chris Ballard, like I said, is pretty pissed about this with the low vaccination rates because it puts them at a severe disadvantage when it comes later in the season. I will say that I think that the only way that this can really be resolved for the Colts is I don't think you're changing anybody's mind in terms of them to voluntarily get the vaccine. I think the only way that this gets changed for the Colts is if the NFL, overarching NFL, Roger Goodell and everybody mandates vaccinations now that the Pfizer vaccine has been fully FDA approved. And I'm surprised at this point that Roger Goodell hasn't done that because he's been such a shield for the Shield. No pun intended, but he is the guy that takes the brunt of all this. And if the NFL comes in and the NFL says, hey, look, we're mandating vaccines, then it takes all of the onus off the general manager, off the coach, off the players, off the owner, because even though Roger Goodell works for the owners, but it takes all of the pressure off of those other guys and puts it all on Roger Goodell. And this is something that he's done in the past. So I'm just kind of surprised that they haven't done it yet, because it would help ease a lot of situations around the league. So that's really kind of my thoughts on the vaccination. Is I do believe that these players, it's a tough situation. It's a tough spot. If they have a religious reason to not get the vaccine, or the doctors have said there's a medical issue there that you shouldn't get vaccinated, then by all means, don't get vaccinated. However, it seems like they're not putting the team first in this situation because of the NFL rules that require there to be at least 5 days of a quarantine if you're a close contact. And it sucks because I don't think the NFL rules are necessarily fair at treating unvaccinated and vaccinated players in the same way, but the rules are what they are. And if the players would just comply, I don't think that we would have this kind of issue from here on out. But again, you hope that the team can make it through the season. You hope that they're able to avoid what happened last year against Tennessee, where they missed a bunch of starting players. If people don't remember, DeForest Buckner, Janico Autry, and Jonathan Taylor all were out for the Tennessee Titans game. And this is when Jonathan Taylor was starting to really hit his groove and was starting to put out 100-yard game after 100-yard game. DeForest Buckner, again, all pro. Janico Autry, your starting defensive end. You know, the Colts were just absolutely ransacked by the Titans in that game because those guys were missing, because you didn't have a running back to control the game, because you didn't have the defensive line to be able to stop Derrick Henry. And now they're going to be put in the same situation this year, but with potentially half your offensive line being gone. So that's really, I'm going to try to wrap it up there on COVID and vaccination status, because I don't really want to talk too much more about it if we don't have to. So let's talk about the initial 53-man roster. And this is something to point out, is this is not the final 53-man roster because there's still waivers to go through, but this is the initial 53-man roster. There wasn't a lot of surprises on my thoughts, at least on it. Maybe Andrew Brown, the defensive tackle out of Virginia, maybe Deion Jackson, the running back. But other than that, it ended up working. Oddly enough, the four guys that the Colts have on the COVID list allowed them to have four extra roster spots, because those guys don't count against your roster in terms of players. So it allowed Chris Ballard to have four extra roster spots to keep guys that were bubble guys, you know, for example, like Mike Strawn, like Desmond Patman. Sam Ellinger is another guy that might have had to have been waived and hope that he made it through waivers. Now, with those guys being placed on IR on the COVID list, that means that Chris Ballard had effectively four extra roster spots to be able to play with. And so I think that that's what he did here. I mean, if you look at the roster breakdown, you've got 7 wide receivers, you've got 11 defensive tackles, you've got 3 quarterbacks. You kept a bunch of guys that are injured that you know are going to go on IR. So, for example, like T.Y. Hilton, it's reported that he might be out until October, November. So he's obviously going to be placed on IR. And that's just what's going to happen. You've got Sam Ellinger is going to be placed on IR. Desmond Patman could be placed on IR. Danny Pinter, Tyquan Lewis, a lot of these guys could be placed on IR and open up some roster spots. Now, the one thing that I thought was really interesting in the 53-man roster was that they did not place Eric Fisher on the PUP list. So that means that the Colts believe that Eric Fisher is going to have an opportunity to play sooner rather than later. Most likely he's going to be here within the next 3 weeks, because otherwise they would have, unless they put him on IR right now, but they know that he's going to be ready before midway through the season. So they know he's going to be ready before November, which is great for the Colts, because left tackle has been a pretty significant question mark for them throughout the entire offseason. So having Eric Fisher and feeling confident that he's going to be back probably in late September, early October, that's really the best case scenario. A couple guys I was really excited to make the roster. I mean, shoot, you guys have heard me talk about them at basically every podcast when we talk about training camp, is Mike Strawn and Desmond Patman. Those guys I thought absolutely deserved it. Ben Banigou was another guy that I thought was a guy that really deserved to make the roster. I thought he played really well throughout the preseason and absolutely earned his spot. The other positions, I was really really excited for Andre Chachere, because he really earned it. He earned that spot over Sean Davis, the rookie, and Sean Davis, the veteran. And he really earned that spot through preseason, through training camp. I hope that he sticks through the final 53-man roster, and he's there for week 1. because I just thought that he played so well throughout the entire preseason that he absolutely deserved that spot. Other guys that I think it's going to be interesting how it plays out is the cornerback position. I think the Colts might look to a guy like Jimmy Moreland, who was cut, as somebody they bring in at the cornerback spot. I think that's going to be an option. You're going to probably look to see them add to the offensive line depth, potentially, depending on how long Eric Fisher is going to be out, how long Danny Pinter will be out. They did make the trade for Matt Pryor with the Philadelphia Eagles. What they did was they sent the 6th-round pick to the Eagles for Matt Pryor and a 7th-round pick. I love these kinds of trades where it's a pick swap trade where you get a player and you drop back a handful of spots in a draft. And for the Colts to be able to do that, it's especially late in the draft. It just gives you an opportunity to keep your draft capital for the most part, but also get a player that you feel like could help your team. The other position I think they might look to add to is tight end. They've only got 3 tight ends, Mo Alie-Cox, Jack Doyle, Kylan Granson. And they probably will look to, I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback position. To me, quarterback position might be the weakest one on the roster right now just because of the lack of depth there. I'm confident in Jacob Eason to spot fill when he needs to, but I'm not sure that he's going to be able to be their long-term answer for it. The guys that I thought are probably going to try to be snuck onto the practice squad for the Colts after cuts, I do think Andrew Brown hopefully will be there. Sean Davis, Jake Eldrenkamp, DeMichael Harris, Deion Jackson, our guys. Isaiah Kafusi is another guy that I think they'll probably try to sneak over, maybe even Tyler Vons or Cahill Waring. But I'm interested to see how this practice squad shapes out. And I'm also interested to see how many of the guys that the Colts waived get claimed, because this is maybe the deepest roster the Colts have had in recent memory, at least a decade, if not longer. And so to have a roster that is this stacked, you had to make some difficult decisions. And again, the decisions weren't quite as difficult based on the COVID list, because they had those 4 extra roster spots that they could carry through, but they're able to make some cuts or waive some players that they probably didn't want to, and that I think will probably get claimed throughout the waiver process. I think that's going to happen. I think probably at least, a quarter of these guys that the Colts cut are going to get claimed. And that's pretty good. It means Chris Ballas is doing a good job. It means that he's doing the right thing. It means that he's bringing in talent from top to bottom and that these guys are able to fill out the rosters. All right. So yeah, again, no surprises for me, for the roster and that initial 53-man roster, the COVID list and having those 4 extra spots effectively made Chris Ballard's decisions a lot easier. And so he didn't have to be as strategic with the cutdowns, with waiving players and risking them 2 waivers. And that was unintended benefit to placing these guys on the COVID list. And so, yeah, other than that, I don't think that there's too many surprises. I'm excited to see Mike Strawn get an opportunity, especially if T.Y. Hilton and Desmond Patman are down, because he'll get that chance to be their wide receiver 4, wide receiver 3 there in the offense. And I'm excited to see what he can do. I'm hoping that Carson Wentz can make it with only a handful of days of practice and still play very well. So it's a lot of hope. It's a lot of prayer. It's a lot of faith. Trying to see that guys do the right thing and they don't put themselves in the wrong situation. But overall, I think that this whole situation in and of itself is kind of frustrating. I'm going to pop back over to the COVID take real quick. But yeah, we talked about COVID-19, the vaccination status of the team. We talked about the roster. I do think that overall the COVID-19 issue is going to be one that kind of is a cloud over the Colts the entire season. And there's a really simple way to make sure that this doesn't become a distraction, and that's to get vaccinated. And you have to follow the rules. And that's the tough part, is you've got a lot of guys that aren't wanting to. The difficult part for the Colts is they're trying to thread a needle right now between allowing the players to have their own free choice on it and doing what's best for the team. It's got to be frustrating for Chris Ballard. I imagine he's probably just livid about certain players making these decisions and not getting vaccinated because it ultimately hurts the team. It means you've got your top quarterback and your top player on both offense and defense arguably are unvaccinated. And so there's a real risk that they're going to lose those guys through the season for at least a game, maybe more, depending on what happens. And it's an unnecessary risk in a lot of people's minds, especially given how the NFL rules are in place. And you've got to go with the rules and the laws that are in place. And if you don't comply, that's on you. And so, unfortunately, the Colts are probably going to have this situation happen throughout the entire year. And if it happens once, that doesn't preclude it from happening again. So this could be a recurring situation for the Colts, is that you have guys miss multiple games because of this. And I think that might turn the tide in the locker room in terms of making people get really frustrated with these guys that are anti-vax, that are choosing not to get vaccinated. And that could be the thing that fractures this locker room. I hope not, but it just seems like that is a realistic possibility at this point. So thanks again, everybody, for listening. This is a very stable podcast. My name's Stephen Reed. You can follow me on Twitter at NiceReedSteve. You can follow the podcast at A Very Stable Pod. Be sure to listen to our work, listen and read our stuff over at StampedeBlue.com. And please rate and review us 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. So thanks again for making me a part of your day. And remember, don't be unstable, and have a great day.